Part 1. The Last to See Them Alive. The village of Holcomb stands on the high wheat plains of western Kansas, a lonesome area that other Kansans call out there. Some 70 miles east of the Colorado border, the countryside, with its hard blue skies and desert clear air, has an atmosphere that is rather more far west than middle west. The local accent is barbed with a prairie twang, a ranch hand nasalness, and the men, many of them, wear narrow frontier trousers, Stetsons, and high-heeled boots with pointed toes. The land is flat, and the views are awesomely extensive. Horses, herds of cattle, a white cluster of grain elevators rising as gracefully as Greek temples are visible long before a traveler reaches them. Holcomb, too, can be seen from great distances. Not that there is much to see. Simply an aimless congregation of buildings divided in the center by the main line tracks of the Santa Fe Railroad, a haphazard hamlet bounded on the south by a brown stretch of the Arkansas, pronounced Arkansas River, on the north by a highway, Route 50, and on the east and west by prairie lands and wheat fields. After rain, or when snow falls thaw, the streets, unnamed, unshaded, unpaved, turn from the thickest dust into the direst mud. At one end of the town stands a stark old stucco structure, the roof of which supports an electric sign, Dance. But the dancing has ceased, and the advertisement has been dark for several years. Nearby is another building with an irrelevant sign, this one in flaking gold on a dirty window. Holcomb Bank. The bank closed in 1933, and its former counting rooms have been converted into apartments. It is one of the town's two apartment houses, the second being a ramshackle mansion known, because a good part of the local school's faculty lives there, as the teacherage. But the majority of Holcomb's homes are one-story frame affairs with front porches. Down by the depot, the postmistress, a gaunt woman who wears a rawhide jacket and denims and cowboy boots, presides over a falling-apart post office. The depot itself, with its peeling, sulfur-colored paint, is equally melancholy. The chief, the super chief, the El Capitan go by every day, but these celebrated expresses never pause there. No passenger trains do, only an occasional freight. Up on the highway, there are two filling stations, one of which doubles as a meagerly supplied grocery store, while the other does extra duty as a cafe. Hartman's Cafe, where Mrs. Hartman, the proprietress, dispenses sandwiches, coffee, soft drinks, and 3.2 beer. Holcomb, like all the rest of Kansas, is dry. And that, really, is all. Unless you include, as one must, the Holcomb School, a good-looking establishment, which reveals a circumstance that the appearance of the community otherwise camouflages, that the parents who send their children to this modern and ably staffed consolidated school, the grades go from kindergarten through senior high, and a fleet of buses transport the students, of which there are usually around 360, from as far as 16 miles away, are, in general, a prosperous people. Farm ranchers, most of them. They are outdoor folk of very varied stock. German, Irish, Norwegian, Mexican, Japanese. They raise cattle and sheep, grow wheat, milo, grass seed, and sugar beets. Farming is always a chancy business, but in western Kansas, its practitioners consider themselves born gamblers, for they must contend with an extremely shallow precipitation, the annual average is 18 inches, and anguishing irrigation problems. However, the last 7 years have been years of droughtless beneficence. The farm ranchers in Finney County, of which Holcomb is a part, have done well. Money has been made not from farming alone, but also from the exploitation of plentiful natural gas resources, and its acquisition is reflected in the new school, the comfortable interiors of the farmhouses, the steep and swollen grain elevators.